Chapter 7. As her captors boarded the hovercraft, Leia remained where she sat, her posture regal. Are you kidnapping me for ransom, or is this an assassination?
Neither, Senator Organa.
The Nikto attacker with the largest blaster smiled toothily at her.
We are bringing you to an important meeting. There is no need to resist.
Meaning they'll hurt me if I do. Leia had never planned on resisting. She simply folded her arms across her chest. Then it looks like I'm going to a meeting. Her supposed hosts, Magistrate Tosta and the businessmen who had led her into danger, were lowered to one of the nearest crags and told to walk to safety. This surprised Leia, only because she couldn't believe they were still going through this sham, pretending that she hadn't been set up from the beginning. Then again, could she blame them? She was pretending too, as though she were afraid or at least unsure. Leia had suspected something like this was in the offing from the first moment she'd read the business leader's invitation. In fact, she'd been counting on it. The speeder dived far deeper into the Bastatha Caverns, so much so that the mirror bright now had to be a couple of kilometers overhead. Broader tunnels gave way to narrow passageways barely large enough for their ship to slip through. Although Leia didn't tend to be claustrophobic, she found herself keenly aware of the heaviness of the stone overhead. Soon they were nearly concealed in darkness, except for the faint glow of lights from the windows of a small domed structure atop a plateau in the depths of the cavern. As the hovercraft sidled to the edge of the plateau, Leia put one hand to her throat as if in dismay, and pressed her fingers down hard on the central pendant of her necklace. That pendant, broad and jeweled, perfectly concealed the miniature sensor beacon Greer had wired in place first thing that morning. Now, signals were being sent to the mirror bright, broadcasting not only her exact position, but also the scans of those closest to her, namely her captors. Leia's staff would immediately contact the local authorities. Although the Nikto magistrates wouldn't want to arrest criminal overlords as powerful as these, once a senator had been kidnapped, well, they couldn't talk their way around that one. All Leia had to do was hold on and stay alive. For one moment, the craft simply hung there in darkness, the deep well of the crevasse seemingly infinite beneath them. Overhead, Leia heard squeaks and flapping wings, Minox, perhaps. The only sign of civilization or light was the domed structure atop this plateau. When the door opened, a shaft of brightness cut into the gloom, and she saw the silhouette of her captor. He walked toward them, his individual features taking shape as Leia's eyes adjusted. He was shorter than most of the others, his leathery skin redder. The white trousers and jacket he wore seemed to shine in the darkness, so elegantly cut that Ransom Casterfo might have been proud to own them. He carried himself with as much dignity as any member of the Elder Houses, though there was something in his posture that made Leia feel Rinriven was mimicking humans. For what effect, she couldn't guess. As he reached the edge of the plateau, Leia lifted her head high. Rinriven Dai, I presume?
Princess Leia Organa.
Rinriven spoke warmly, as if welcoming an old friend. He held out his hand to help her from the hovercraft.
I apologize for your unorthodox journey here. However, I thought you unlikely to accept a straightforward invitation.
I would have appreciated the opportunity to say yes or no. Leia took Rinriven's hand and stepped easily onto the plateau, her cloak billowing in the breeze. If he could pretend this was any other formal visit, so could she. He ushered her toward the dome with as much dignity and courtesy as any court minister.
Let me see if I can't make it up to you. We have so much to discuss, you and I, including matters I believe will be of great interest and benefit to us both.
Then by all means, let's talk. Leia's purpose in accepting the shady invitation that had led her here was twofold. First, she intended to learn more about Rinriven Dai, to determine for herself how he operated. If she was to understand the full extent of the risks he presented, she needed to better understand the man. She knew how to learn the true measure of an individual. Watch what he does to someone he believes is at his mercy. Second, she intended to put Rinriven in jail. Attempted kidnapping of a senator was only the latest and slightest of his crimes, but it would do for now. Even a brief period of incarceration would give the New Republic time to go after his cartel. So Leia needed to speak with her captor at length, both to discover his true nature and to stall long enough for the Bastatha security forces to arrive. The interior of Rinriven's headquarters put the Bastatha casinos to shame. The table, tiled in a subtle mosaic of white and gold, the opalescent shell inlays within the domed ceiling, the beautiful holographic seascape rolling gently in its frame. This wasn't gaudy mimicry of elegance, but the real thing. Leia settled herself onto an ornately carved, amply cushioned chair across the table from the place she instinctively understood would be Rinriven's. It was the one spot from which nobody would be able to approach him from behind.
Let me offer you a drink.
Rinriven gestured for a droid to roll forward with a bottle of wine, apparently chilled. Leia was about to refuse when Rinriven continued,
Tonire, an excellent vintage. A wonderful year. Sadly, one of the last.
Tonire had been an Alderaanian wine. Leia's eyes widened as she took in the teal color, the characteristic shape of the bottle. It couldn't be real. Could it? All the off-world bottles had to have been consumed long ago. But when the droid poured it into the correct slim flute, Leia recognized the scent. Suddenly she was back at a royal banquet, seated at her father's right hand, taking care to slowly nurse the one glass she had been given. Ignoring Rinriven's avid interest in her reaction, she took a sip. Yes, it was Tonire. True Tonire. The first moment the cool wine touched her tongue, she closed her eyes to better savor the sensation. Leia could imagine the valley where the fruit would have been grown. See the deep green leaves of the vines. For one instant, she could taste the very soil of Alderaan again. Home. The intense wave of emotion she felt never altered her expression. Leia let it happen and let it go. When she opened her eyes again, she saw Rinriven studying her, though he didn't seem to be fishing for a sign of weakness. Instead, he looked like any other host, hopeful to have pleased his guest. Thank you. Leia could say this much to Rinriven with total sincerity. It's been a long time since anyone gave me such a gift.
Took a while to find the vintage. Collectors prize the few remaining casks, as I'm sure you can imagine. But when I heard you would be visiting Bastatha, I realized I had to find an appropriate way to welcome you. I so wanted to get our relationship off to a good start.
Rinriven sat back in his luxurious chair. He seemed more at home in his finely appointed hideout than he would have in the usual rough haunts of the Nikto.
In fact, let me put you more at ease right away.
With that, he spoke to the guards massed at the door.
We have no further need of you. Senator Organa and I are having a civilized conversation. Go on about your business. We require only a driver to take her back to her ship when we're done.
The Nikto guards clearly hadn't anticipated this. Some shuffling and muttered debate followed before all but one of them took off on the hover sleds. The only guard left went and sat in the hovercraft, arms crossed sullenly across his chest. When Rinriven Dai turned back to Leia, she bowed her head and smiled. Your courtesy is much appreciated, Rinriven. And you obviously don't think a lone woman in her late 40s could represent much of a threat.
I meant what I said.
Rinriven settled back into his chair. He took none of the Tonire himself, leaving it all for her.
My unorthodox introduction may have caused some confusion, but I genuinely would like for us to have a mutually beneficial relationship. You see, I've been an admirer of yours for some time. Nor am I the only one. Many among the Nyctos revere you, and not for the reasons the rest of the galaxy does. Oh, of course, your work during the rebellion was important, Senator, as your political efforts are now, but I personally find some of your other accomplishments far more impressive.
Leia took another sip of the precious Tonerae. I'm not sure I follow.
I'm about to give you another gift. One far more valuable to me than the wine. In fact, this has been one of my prized possessions for many years, one I've always kept with me. But when you see it, and know what it has meant to me and to so many of the Nyctos, at last you will understand.
Rinriven pulled a small hollow cube from his pocket. Its sides shone dully in the limited light.
My people have their reasons for hating the Hutts. Jabba the Hutt, we hated most of all. So when the Hutts went through the wreckage of Jabba's sail barge on Tatooine, looking for evidence regarding the exact nature of his death, to settle one of their endless debates over the will, you know how they are. Well, what emerged was a bit of footage traded in only the most exclusive circles.
The holocube flickered, and projected around it was the image of Jabba reclining on his platform, Leia herself in dancing girl costume shackled to his side. They were on the sail barge, and these were the last moments of Jabba the Hutt's life. Leia remembered the heat, the stench, the grit of sand against her skin, and the terrible, nauseating fear she'd felt for both Han and Luke. The risks they'd taken. Had they lost their minds? No. They'd only been young and courageous, sure of their own invincibility. It had been a long time since Leia felt that untouchable. Jabba ordered Luke thrown into the great pit of Carcoon. Moments later, chaos broke out. With a kind of awe, Leia watched herself sling the heavy chains around Jabba's neck. The sheer strength it took to compress a Hutt's neck to the point of asphyxiation. She had summoned that from somewhere deep inside. Remembered doing so, but found it almost unbelievable to witness. Pure hatred had fueled her. Her arms seemed to ache with remembered strain. Of course, she had been unable to see Jabba's face as he died. Leia watched him now, taking in each detail. The bulging of his heavy-lidded eyes, the protrusion of his slimy tongue. She felt neither revulsion nor triumph, only the echo of her own desperation. His death had been fulfilling to her back then, but now it was irrelevant. Only an ugly thing that had had to be done. When Jabba grunted his last, the hologram flickered out.
Hutt Slayer,
Rinriven breathed in genuine reverence.
This is what we call you among ourselves, and it is a far greater title than either senator or princess could ever be. The Nyctos know you for the warrior you are, Hutt Slayer, and you will always have friends among us.
Leia took the holocube, slipping it into the pocket of her cloak. Footage of her committing a murder? Well, it was either the strangest diplomatic gift she'd ever been given, or very close. There are other records of this around?
Only a handful. The Hutts hunted down most of the copies and vendors. They didn't want proof of their own vulnerability to circulate. As you can see, however, I have ways of getting what I want.
No doubt, Leia said dryly. Yet Rinriven was not the usual criminal boss, interested in the fastest, most brutish power. This was an individual who considered himself cultivated, intellectual. He didn't only want riches, he wanted respectability. If Rinriven had been born human in the age of the Empire, he could have turned into a figure a great deal like Grand Moff Tarkin. And had Tarkin been born a Nikto, he would have been exactly like Rin Riven. He's no thug, Leia decided. He's much more dangerous than that. And his goals will be broader than any mere spice cartel. Rin Riven leaned forward, his elbows on the table, hands clasped together as though he were beseeching her.
We honor you, Hutt Slayer. We will always honor you for ridding the galaxy of Jabba the Hutt. I ask only that you honor us in return.
Finally, he was getting to it. What form do you expect this honor to take?
We only want the same opportunities other peoples enjoy, to trade freely and grow toward greater prosperity and influence throughout the galaxy.
Leia raised an eyebrow. Throughout the galaxy? Either Rin Riven Dai's ambition was great, or his cartel was already even larger than they'd feared. The New Republic doesn't allow the free trade of most forms of spice, she said. The weak stuff that could be mined or grown on numerous planets, nobody worried about that. And of course there wasn't that much money in it. Cartels went for the stronger varieties. And coercing debtors through violence, demanding protection money, that's not allowed no matter what you're selling. She expected Rin Riven Dai to deny these allegations, but he surprised her.
Rules set on Hosnian Prime often fail to reach the other worlds of the New Republic. Besides, Hutslayer, as you obviously know, sometimes violence is necessary. You didn't call Mos Eisley Security to deal with Jabba, did you? No.
He grinned with evident relish.
You trusted your own two hands, as do I.
I once fought lawlessness with lawlessness, it's true, she said. But I believe in the rule of law, and have spent most of my life trying to restore it to the galaxy. In other words, Rin Riven, I've made it this far without taking bribes. I don't intend to start now. Rin Riven shook his head and chuckled like she'd told a good joke.
A fine speech for the Senate floor. But you can't be as rigid as you claim. Otherwise, you could never have married a smuggler. Spice running, collaboration with the Hutts, high-stakes gambling. Han Solo's record rivals mine.
That was a long time ago, Leia said, caught off guard. No one had ever thrown Han's past in her face so bluntly before. Before he joined the Rebellion.
Do you believe being a part of the Rebel Alliance washed away all sins?
Rin Riven shook his head, rueful and amused.
Trust me on this, Hutt Slayer. Once a pirate, always a pirate.
There had been a time when Leia would have agreed with Rin Riven, and this, more than anything, sparked her temper. You don't know what you're talking about.
Don't I?
Whatever else Rin Riven would have said was cut off by the sound of a blaster bolt. Leia wheeled around, alarmed. Surely Bastatha Security wouldn't blindly start firing into a hostage situation. Behind her, she heard Rin Riven hiss a Nikto curse as they both saw what was happening just outside, which was Ransom Casterfo facing off with the guard. Leia gasped as the guard swung one of his many pointed blades at Casterfo. They grappled, too close for blasters. Swift and agile, Casterfo dodged the blow, then spun around to bring the heel of his hand up under the Nikto's chin. The guard's head snapped back, and as he stumbled to the side in a daze, Casterfo kneed him hard in the gut, shoving the stunned Nikto guard backward into the hovercraft. Then Casterfo rushed toward the door, and Leia barely had time to scramble out of the way before he dashed in. "Princess Leia!" he shouted, leveling his blaster at Rin Riven. "Come with me, now!" What is he doing? What is he doing? But Leia couldn't argue, not without giving away the sting she'd planned in the first place. She could only stand there in equal parts astonishment and anger as Casterfo grabbed her hand. Rin Riven looked completely bemused. He had planned a meeting on his own mannerly terms, and perhaps had some backup that could be quickly summoned in case of a full-fledged assault, but didn't know what to do with one wild-eyed, armed senator. He never rose from his elegant, high-backed chair, and he said only,
"Until we speak again, Hot Slayer."
Casterfo didn't give Leia a chance to reply. He simply dragged her out of the dome and toward a hover sled. As they ran toward it, Leia yelled, "How did you get here?" "I put a tracker on your cloak, just in case you deviated from the scheduled flight path." Casterfo sounded triumphant as he leapt onto the 2-meter-long hover sled and grasped the handlebars on the tall steering console. "When you went off course, I knew what had happened. I told you there would be trouble. I knew there would be trouble. I had my own tracker on me the whole time. Vastatha security would have been here within minutes." Leia jumped onto the hover sled, too. Her plan was ruined, so she might as well escape with Casterfo. "Did you honestly think I was stupid enough to walk into an obvious setup without guards or a plan? A plan? This was part of a plan?" Casterfo's smug smile faded into bewilderment. "Why didn't you tell me there was a plan?" "Because I don't trust you. I just risked my life to save you from a dangerous situation that turns out to be nothing but a lie, one you set up, and you don't trust me?" "That was not a bad point," Leia swore under her breath. "We can discuss this back at the ship. For now, we've got to get out of here." Already, she could hear the Nikto guard stirring in the hovercraft. Casterfo put his hands on the controls, thumbs sliding along the bar that brought the engine glowing back to full power. As he did so, though, Leia heard the hum of other engines, almost lost in the gale winds of the Vastatha Caverns, but growing louder by the moment. "We're about to have company," she said, just as a dozen or more of Rin Riven's men flew out of the shadows and swooped in like carrion birds ready to pounce. "Go!"